Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. How's it going? It's your girl, Monique Leray. This is The Startup. And what a crazy weekend. What a great weekend. Beautiful weekend. We're going to jump right in. We've got our resident money pandemic posse member, Christina Biddle. She's here. How you doing, Christina?
I'm doing fine, Monique. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm glad we're matching. And
absolutely. Well, we're just sisters that we didn't know about, right?
That's right. That's right. So we're going to jump right in and share some money updates. So why don't you give us what you've got for us?
Well, right now, what I want to cover is, since the 15th is Wednesday and taxes are due Wednesday, I wanted to give people a couple of last minute tax filing tips. And things that they can do to beef up those tax refunds.
Great.
But first of all, I wanted to let people know, here is my name and information. Premier Accounting. My phone number is 910-571-1092. I can be seen at www.premierabc1.com. Now, this other number, this is for people who have not yet received their stimulus payment yet. This is the economic impact payment number.
Oh, wow.
Where if you have not received it, you can call this number and they can assist you with it. And that number is 1-800-919-9835.
Perfect. Yeah, hold it. Yeah, hold it up. Hold it up one more time really close, please. Yeah, that was really good. The 800 number as well, folks. Yep, up higher, a little higher. There you go. Perfect. Thank you. That is really, you're such an overachiever.
Well, actually, I'm going to have a PowerPoint next week.
Love it.
So what I also wanted to let y'all know, too, is after you file your taxes, and if you have not received your stimulus check yet, then after filing 1 week after you receive your refund, then you should get your stimulus check. Okay.
Great.
That's what they're saying. Okay.
At least they're saying something. That's good news.
Yes. And they are going to be, for people who missed the last deadline as far as putting in bank account information and things like that, they're going to be doing that again before, I'm thinking between September 15th and October 15th. Now, another thing too is I wanted to remind people, your stimulus checks are not taxable. Your unemployment is 100% taxable. Okay, save all documentation when it comes to your stimulus check and your unemployment money as well. Okay,
good.
So another couple of things, people have noticed that their student loans have not been automatically withdrawn out of their account.
That right.
is because student loan payments have been suspended until September the 30th, and they are not accruing any interest at all either. So I want everybody to realize that that ends September the 30th. Your additional $600 in unemployment ends July the 30th, unless all of this stuff is extended. Okay?
Right.
Now, some tax tips real quick, and then we'll get back to some of the other things. Make an IRA contribution. You can make a contribution to your IRA account until midnight on the 15th of July.
Oh,
yes. So even if you participate in one at work, you can continue to make contributions to that and continue to get a certain percentage off on your taxes. Or if you have one at work and then you want to go to the bank and get one, then you can do that too.
Okay.
Now, they will give you an automatic deduction on your taxes for 2019. So you will get you're getting a tax break because it's already been taken out of your check, so it hasn't been taxed. Plus, you're going to get about 10% back on your tax return for that as well.
That's really good news. Yeah.
Now, there are two different, telling you if you do that, there are different kinds of IRAs. To get the tax deduction, they would have to go with a 401k or a simple IRA.
Okay.
They cannot, a Roth IRA, since that is already taxed dollars, you don't get the additional amount off on your taxes. But being that it's already taxed, then later on in the future, when you pull the money out, you will only be paying taxes on the interest that you made because you've already paid taxes on the principal.
Yay!
At today's rate, too. And we all know that today's rate is going to be cheaper than tomorrow's rate. So,
yes.
You know, I look at things like that.
Okay.
Another thing, too, contribute to a health savings account. Now, in order to qualify for this, number one, you have to have what's called a high deductible health plan. All that means is that your maximum out-of-pocket for self only is $6,750 a year. For a whole family, is $13,500 a year. Now, if your maximum out-of-pocket meet or exceed those, then you can qualify for an HSA. And a health savings account is not a use or lose. This is not one of those that you lose in 12 months if you don't use it. A health savings account continues to accrue interest, and you can continue putting money into this account on up to retirement. So
wow.
Let's say, and see, the thing about it is, okay, so for an employee only, I could put in, say, $3,500 for an individual, $7,000 for a family plan. Now, if you're 55 or older, you can put in an additional $1,000 per person, and that's called the $1,000 catch-up. But the thing about it is, if you continue to save $8,000 a year in health savings costs, their chances are sitting in a health savings account that is, number one, accruing interest. Make sure that whatever you put it in, it accrues interest payable to you. I know that the Mellon Bank in New York, they do a lot of those where it sits there and it accrues interest. Now, can you imagine $7,000, not to mention if your employer matches that as well.
Oh, right. So, if they've got the stimulus they can throw at the bailout.
Well, no. Just in general, that is actually some companies, they'll say, okay, well, if you're going to contribute $3,000, we'll contribute say $1,000 a year. Well, that $1,000 a year is the $1,000 they're putting in that you are gaining interest on.
Okay,
so,
great.
You know, there's another way. Now, make sure you write off your business expenses. Number one, there's a difference. You have your business expenses. IRS only considers what is ordinary and necessary. So the Prada shoes probably are not ordinary and necessary. You know,
darn.
My poor size, probably,
I mean, you must be talking about mine. Just kidding.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. So, you know, make sure that you can legitimately count your deductions and count everything. I don't care if you go to Walmart to get a pack of pencils. You count the mileage up there and you count the mileage back and that pack of pencils.
See, that's new. People don't really say that, like the errands miles. Like it's just like an event or the airport. But you're saying all of it, the shopping too.
If you have to, yes, ma'am. If you own a convenience store, and let's say you subsidize some of your inventory with Sam's Club and you go to Sam's to get it once a week, then your mileage to and from, that counts. If you have to go to Home Depot to pick up supplies one day, that mileage counts. If you do anything for the business, even going to a client's facility, that is business mileage that you can count. Round trip, not just one way, round trip. Another thing people don't realize too is if you have two jobs, your mileage from home to job number one is not deductible. But if you go straight from job number one to job number two, that mileage is deductible. Yes.
Yes. Love it.
Okay. So that's another huge thing, too, that people didn't know about. Another thing, too, is your office, your home office expense. I know everybody should take work home and claim up to 300 square feet of their home.
Oh, minimum. Minimum.
I know, right? So, you need to keep up with that. Now, you can take what's called the safe harbor method, which is a standard $5 per square foot with a maximum of 300 square feet, which gives you roughly, $150?
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that's standard safe harbor. If you keep up with your household expenses, such as your power, your water, your internet, your homeowner's insurance, lawn and garden maintenance, your housekeeper, and you allocate that per square foot of your office, then you can take that as long as you have receipts. The safe harbor method is just to keep you from getting audited.
Oh, wow. You can write off your housekeeper. Okay.
For the portion they clean your office. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So if they clean 10% of your house and their bill was, what, $200, then, you know, $20 of that's going to go towards a tax deduction.
Love it.
Keep up with your home office deductions as well. Another thing that people seem to overlook are dependent and daycare expenses. Mm-hmm. And when I say dependent, I mean maybe a child that's over the age of 18 that is physically and mentally challenged or handicapped in some way. But the thing about it is even those who have small children can take up to $3,000 for a single child or $6,000 up to two children. But you only get a maximum of 35% of that back, and it's based on income. So, but basically, if you could get the full $6,000 off at, say, 35%, that's roughly $2,100 that is coming off your tax bill.
Great.
So, you know, people don't realize $2,100 right there that they didn't even think about.
It adds up, man. Right.
And see, a thing about that, too, is that goes on up to the age of 12.
Okay.
So if you have a kid that is in summer camp or music camps, athletic camps, things like that, it covers that, too.
Online stuff as well, I'm guessing. The online learning and courses and classes now, perhaps. We need to look into it, maybe.
We're waiting on further legislation of that. They're going to have something other than what they're offering now. Because I know a lot of schools are only offering, we'll give you the hotspot and pay for the internet. But the thing about it, what about those who already have it?
Right.
You know, we need a little bang for our buck, too.
Sure.
So,
yes.
Another thing, too, is get an extension. If all else fails and you're out of options, get an extension. And I'm going to tell you why. And these are ways to save you money. I have made a few notes here on how to save you some jack.
We love that. We love that about you. Very organized here on the startup.
File on time. File your taxes on time, because failure to file penalty can be as much as 5% of your unpaid taxes per month that they're outstanding.
Wow.
So if you don't file for 2 months, your penalty is 10% of what you owe.
That's really maximum, high.
Yeah, maximum up to 25% of what you owe. So if you owe them $1,000 and you didn't file for, what, 5 months, then it would be $250.
Wow.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's getting up there. Okay.
It is. So, and then the next thing is, even if you file and you can't pay, that's fine, because the failure to pay penalty is only half of 1% on the outstanding balance per month. A percent. So file it, owe it. But the thing about it is, now you've got Corona, you know, Miss Corona. Miss Corona is making it to where filing and paying late, the government is accepting at this point, paying late, but make sure you file.
That's the message.
Yes. And also, too, if you know every year that you owe $600 or $800, send them a check throughout the year of, I don't know, $75 maybe a month or something, because at the end of the year, you can get hit with an underpayment penalty, not to mention if you file late, a late filing penalty. And then if you can't pay, you're going to get hit with a late payment penalty.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and I wanted also to, because I got about 3 minutes. I'm trying to stay here. Common tax preparer errors are, and they'll send them back for these reasons too, or not accept them. Math errors, insufficient postage, missing signatures on the return, incorrect social security numbers. Make sure that your address, social, and date of birth are 100% correct whenever you check over your taxes from the tax preparer. These are very common mistakes, and now everybody's going, well, I didn't get my stimulus check. I got the wrong address down. Well, we asked you when you walked in the door, have you changed addresses? Is your address still such and such? Idiot, right?
Well, yeah. Well, you bring up a really good point, and I think, you know, it's like you have the old bank account, and then now that account isn't there anymore, and then they send you a check, and then you move, so you're pushed back long and long. So do you have any updates? This is all good information. Thank you so much. Do you have any updates on the no status when people type in their, should they just give up at this point? If you don't have a check, then you don't have a check.
No. As a matter of fact, if you don't have a check and you have filed your taxes, you need to call this number right
here. There you go. Call that number. That's right, everybody.
1-800-919-9835.
All right. It sounds like you got through, and you are always creating value. You guys, call my girl, Christina Biddle. She is handling it. She's tearing it down right now. Congratulations on getting new info. You're one of the only people I know that has some. You're welcome. You've been hustling.
Well, I call them and I irritate the piss out of them to the point where I've actually been told, don't call back.
We love you.
Hey, it was great as always to be on here. If anybody needs me, Christina Biddle, Premier Accounting. I can be reached at area code 910-571-1092. Call, text, or email me, premierabc1@gmail.com.
Christina is nationwide. Don't be fooled by that 910 area code, Los Angeles. She is nationwide, and she's available around the clock. We'll see you really soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. You take care.
You too, love. Bye.
Bye.
Mwah. 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 Oh, Christina's always a good time, you guys. She's always on it with the money talks. So next up, we've got some really, really cool information on COVID. Yes, this is the startup, but we're also touching on what's going on in the world. And I mean, we got the money update. Let's get an update on some technology and some things and how we can track this event, you know, this global pause. A lot of you guys know, maybe you don't know, I'm actually doing a pandemic documentary. I've been on the road with one of my producing partners, Gentry Stanley. We just got back from Alabama, and I have my next guest on. Hi, Mr. Ahmad. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. So you're live on LA Talk Radio with Monique on the startup. And why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody exactly what you do?
Sure. So my name is Amanat Ahmad. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I am the marketing and sales guy for a small company called COVID-19 Ventilator. We are a nonprofit organization based out of Columbus trying to get pretty much the bottom line is to get as many ventilators out there as we possibly can. So shortly, the inventor, I should say, Tarek Youssef should be on here very shortly to kind of discuss what his idea was. So just to give you some background on all three of us, there's three people that started this, me being one of them, Tarek Youssef, who once again was the inventor and creator of the actual device itself, and then Liz Stump, who her background is a lot of business management, which there she is. She's actually joining us right now.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Great. Please go ahead and just say your full name and just give everyone your title and who you are.
Sure. I'm Liz George Stump. I'm Director of Business Operations for COVID-19 Ventilator. And I do a lot of the administrative backend work, help with FDA testing coordination and what that looks like. And, you know, as you can imagine with a startup like this, all the other 80,000 things that we didn't know that we needed to get done, but have to do.
I understand. So, you are
where we can.
Yes, you are a lady of all hats and all trades.
That's right. That's right.
Well, great. So LA is listening right now. We, you know, we are streaming live in Missouri as well. Shout out to TOKOL Love Radio and Lady Ray J. They're listening to us there as well. So go ahead and tell us exactly what your goal is for the startup and how you started.
Sure. I can go ahead and take this one. Tarek, our inventor, came up with this really brilliant idea for an easy to assemble ventilator. We know with COVID-19, that's put a lot of stress on a variety of our hospital resources. And back in March, it seems like so long ago, but it's only been a couple of months. No one knew what was going to happen and how that was going to play out. And there's still a lot of unknown, right? We're seeing hospitals and ICUs get stressed. And that's just domestically, let alone what potentially is happening internationally, right? Sure. This also started us thinking and realizing, you know, ventilators in U.S. hospitals often cost good ones $30,000 or north of that for really good ones. Yeah. This is not that ventilator. Let's be real clear.
Right? Okay.
We're not trying to say you can have all the bells and whistles with this, but there are places in the world that not just for COVID-19, but other types of issues that could use a decent ventilator for a low cost, right? So our goal really is to kind of say, hey, you know what? There are people in the world that need devices, that need to have something that they can use often in emergency situations that is low cost to maintain, uses easily accessible parts. And that's what this ventilator does, right? So yes. Basically it's a motor with sensors using, if you remember from any TV doctor show that you've watched where they have the bag that you squeeze, right? Like it basically puts a motor and package around that and you can hook that up to the patient and help provide oxygen in that way.
Wow.
So that's really where we started.
And that's a really great place to start. It seems like you are answering a question in a niche that is, like you said, it's all over the world and it's something that people need. What are we looking at in the next 60 days, 90 days with this rolling out?
Sure. Right now, I think our first couple immediate steps are twofold. We're working through the FDA approval process, right? So the design is complete. We have some folks who are helping us test in a variety of scenarios using artificial lungs. We're working through approvals to do animal testing right now, right, to go down that path. But the FDA approval process is intense.
And I bet.
Time-consuming and costly, right? So that's kind of the third track as we continue to test and refine the design with any improvements and feedback from the medical community. How do we make sure that we're hitting all the spots on the FDA side and getting the funding to do that? Because that is expensive.
Amen, sister. And that's why we're doing this and we're reaching out. And it looks like Tarika's on and maybe we can cover what the money looks like in case someone out there is interested in helping. Sure. Tariq, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. We've set this up as a nonprofit because ultimately our goal wasn't to make money or profit off of it. It was simply we want to do the right thing in this emergency scenario. So far everything's been done just with grassroots fundraising. Very different as a startup or any organization really to raise funds in that way, but so far it's gotten us to where we needed to go. So we are raising funds through a GoFundMe account, and we hit our first goal, and I think we're close to our second goal right now. So we're
beautiful.
Just trying to raise money, really, because, like Liz mentioned, the FDA process is a very costly process that is a little undefined as far as like what the cost could be, because it's kind of this iterative.
I mean, it's the wild, wild west. I mean, you guys are totally navigating the new railroad and you're laying down the lanes there. What is your GoFundMe? How can people find you if they want to donate?
What is it? It's I think if you went on GoFundMe and you searched COVID-19 ventilator, that would be the quickest way to find it. My name's on there. Liz's name is on there. Liz Stump, Tarik Youssef, or Amana Ahmed. All three of our names are tied to the account. And, you can donate any amount of money. It can be a dollar. It could be, $1,000. It's up to you. We are a pending 501c3. So what that means, once that is approved, you would be able to use it for the tax deduction additionally.
What are you finding?
We do also have a website, but it's COVID-19ventilator.org. And on that website, you can go to our GoFundMe from there. Or there's also a donor box link on the bottom for corporate donations. So we have partnered up with another small nonprofit in Columbus that is going to help us out with actually taking fiscal responsibility for the time being until we get our 501c3 approved. So for anybody who is a corporate sponsor, you can go ahead and make a payment or make a donation at this moment in time and get your tax deduction.
Beautiful. What else, you guys, do we need to know about the COVID-19 ventilator that gives us hope? Because when you see these, you know, these ERs around, and I think Houston's a hot spot right now. I just flew into Dallas from Birmingham and on my way back to LA. So I'm in Dallas at the moment. And, you know, Houston, they're running out of space. What's important to know about these? How long do they run? How long should we expect someone to be on this ventilator? It's like a triage type of ventilator, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is that this is not supposed to be something that's supposed to replace the actual, you know, conventional ventilator. What this is for is to pretty much take, so as Liz was saying earlier, with all the hospital shows that you've seen, you always have a nurse or somebody taking a plastic bag and pushing air into the patient. This actually does that for you. It has a mechanical arm that pushes the bag for you, allows you to kind of set the parameters for the patient. Patient needs more oxygen, you can set that up. If the person needs less, you can set that up as well. So it all depends on how long the doctor and nurses think they can use this device to do that. Now, we've also made it so where if you do not have any other resources whatsoever, this is something that you can potentially use as well. There's a battery backup in it. So if the power goes out for any reason, you can run the device up for 2 hours without any, having any additional power. Right. And then you can also run it off of a generator. So if power goes out completely and you're out in the middle of nowhere, you can hook up to a generator.
It sounds like it's right on time, and it's just very genius. I think you guys are doing amazing work for people. What else do you want people to know about your invention and how they can support you?
Well, the big thing right now is we need funds to get through this next phase for testing. We are talking to a couple of different places for testing. We're looking at 40K is what we need for the next step. So that's going to help push us through all the testing, get us through the FDA, and then get us rocking and rolling to be able to manufacture these. We are still debating on whether or not we want to take that manufacturing on ourselves or if we want to potentially, you know, source that out to somebody else. But the biggest thing is that we are trying to make it so where anybody who needs a device can get it in their hands as well. And then the idea also is to potentially license the product out to people to be able to have them build it just in case, you know, if you're in the third world country and you don't want to pay the shipping costs, if you have the ability to get all the tools and all the components that are needed to make this, then why not share that with them as well?
Beautiful. And I guess that rolls into, you know, and I don't want you to give away your secret sauce, but, you know, as far as the unit goes, who designed it and, you know, is it a relatable design and anything else you can share without giving it away and about how much per unit are you estimating that it costs?
So Tarek was the person who invented it. So I'll let Tarek take that question.
Yeah, so I designed it and produced the first models, the first test models. I own a furniture company, so we produce things, solid, you know, goods all day long. So we're very familiar with it. And the goal was how do you make a device in a scenario where you don't have a supply chain anymore? What do you can't source all these, like, even during the COVID shutdown, we had trouble sourcing almost every part. And we have maybe, what, 5 parts that we don't produce ourselves on the unit.
Yeah.
But, you know, those 5 parts were a nightmare to source. So imagine if, you know, you are in a scenario where you actually really, truly need the device, what do you do? And so that was the goal, is reduce the part count and make it so that one facility could potentially produce thousands of them in a short period of time.
Yeah. And I mean, God bless you for coming up with this. Did you come up in your sleep? I mean, how did you get, I mean, I could see clearly where the motivation would be is to help people, of course, and, you know, our loved ones around us and keep people safe. But what was your, did you wake up in the middle of the night with kind of a sketch in your head or?
I'm a mechanical engineer by education, and I worked at Honda for several years at the beginning of my career. And these days I do a lot of automation stuff for the furniture company. So I just happened to be working on another project that had a lot of the similar components. And actually the ventilator was better suited to the components I was working with than even.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so I was like, these parts are like ideal for a ventilator, very low cost, very scalable, lightweight, low energy consumption. So it was really just kind of right place at the right time. And at yeah. that point, kind of a obligation, if you can do it, why you do it.
Why not? Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing that you guys are doing. And I think, what would you anticipate being perhaps anything that would keep it from being approved by the FDA? And then how could, you know, the fans and the supporters of you be proactive in helping you move forward to the next level?
Honestly, it's funding. I say funding is our biggest thing.
Run us
thing
the
right
money,
now.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's, the nice thing is that, I shouldn't say nice, but the focus has shifted just a little bit, right? We were before trying to get it out as fast as possible. And the fact of the matter is that we are still seeing, like you said, hotspots that are coming up in, here and there, but it's not as crazy as what it was before. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's warming up now a little bit too. Once it gets to being colder weather again, the doctors that we were talking to currently are all predicting that it's going to potentially go back to being worse again. And they're saying, without a vaccine, they're like, this is definitely going to be happening. So our goal is to try to get up and running by the time October hits, because October is what they're saying is the next big, you know, I guess, stage of COVID that we're going to be hitting around. So if we can get back, if we can get everything as far as testing done by then and get things rocking and rolling, figuring out whether we're going to manufacture it ourselves, if we're going to, you know, source that to somebody else to do. But at the end of the day, we need the funds to get through the testing. We were trying to do the testing in-house. We realized that in order for it to be, a solid product, it would be best to hire a test house to do all the testing, which is where we're looking at $40,000 for that.
Okay, great. And so you guys mentioned something about testing on animals, and is there a section of this testing, a portion of this testing, where someone could volunteer to test, or what would that look like?
So for FDA approval, most of that is centered around electrical, mechanical kind of risk testing. Like, how can you make the machine break and what happens so that if somebody is hooked up to it, we know that they're still safe, right? That's kind of the big important thing. Because of the nature of a ventilator, we actually do most of the testing using artificial lungs and using animal testing and things like that. So, you know, if your audience has access to any type of resources along that space, we'd love to get in touch with them. Also on our website is an info email. You can email and that actually comes to me. And so we can help coordinate, right?
Yeah.
So those are some of the places where the FDA itself is really looking for safety in worst case scenarios and what happens there. What we tend to find happens is that the doctors themselves in teaching and learning hospitals are the ones that are working with us around, let's look at this in terms of patient care and how it works in that space, right? So we don't have as much of a, you know, I know like I've gotten emails and seen Facebook ads and things for things like, hey, do you want to come sign up to be part of a vaccine trial? Like, we don't have that type of need for this particular product. Just because it's a ventilator. We generally know how ventilators work. And again, we're not trying to like come up with new technology that makes a ventilator function differently. It's really how do we take what we know works and produce it more efficiently and a little bit maybe more reliably than what a more expensive ventilator would cost.
And it sounds like you've forementioned that it's globally manageable for other countries that might need something.
They're lightweight. We source some of the components internationally as well, so not not everything is available to be made in the US, right? There's a significant part of like 3D printing and things that if we were to license out can actually be done relatively easily. The good news is that the FDA approval is kind of the gold standard, right? So most other countries, if you have a product that has FDA approval with a couple small tweaks or a couple additional tests, would be perfectly fine with that. So you don't have to go through the retesting and things like that. You just have to manage your production processes accordingly. So again, that's kind of the long-term plan, is the ideal, and the hope is that eventually COVID itself goes away, right?
Yes, but we want it that to go away.
Right? but that doesn't mean that people aren't going to need ventilators 5 years, 10 years down the road. And even just some of the folks that we've had in contact with us, we know that there are places in parts of the world where people can't afford them, but they might be able to afford this one. So that's the other side of the nonprofit piece. Once we get through approval, we'll continue to do fundraising so that we can donate ventilators in places that need them as well. So
beautiful. And it's a beautiful answer to a need. And I'm so grateful to have you guys on. Please plug again how we can reach you, follow you, donate, support.
Best thing to do would be visit our website at COVID-19ventilator.org. And that will actually have all the information about us. It'll have the information about the donor box and also the GoFundMe. You can email Liz, like I said, right, or what she said, right from there in the info box. And we are on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and LinkedIn as well.
A pleasure to meet all three of you. Thank you for your contribution to the world and to getting us behind, you know, getting us forward and getting us behind us. Thank you so much for being on.
Appreciate having us. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Cheers. All right, you guys.
Bye.
So that was some amazing news to have those three on, those innovators, the startup for the COVID-19 ventilator. Check them out and follow, donate, share. We want to definitely support that. They're looking for about $40,000. I'm sure we can do better than that and get them even more than what they need to get approved for the FDA. And I want to give a shout out to everybody in Birmingham, Alabama, in Atlanta, Georgia, and here in Dallas, Texas today, where I'm streaming live, to say thank you to people who we met on the road with production for our pandemic documentary. And we look forward to the next few cities, which would be Seattle, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, as well as Hollywood, California, LA. So if you guys have an interesting COVID-19 story, if you survived, if someone that you know didn't and you want to share their story and make sure that what you've gone through is documented, we would love to have you be a part of the film. We are reachable at CapAquariusMedia@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram, CAP Aquarius Media. So like Capricorn and Aquarius Media at gmail.com. You can also follow me on Instagram, Monique Loray, L-O-R-E, Stinson, or you can follow me, Latchkey Kid Films. So there's three Instagrams there that you can follow. Startup with Monique Loray as well. And I think we should just continue to do the very best we can to limit the spread. Please wear a mask, a covering, you know, even if you don't think it works. Sometimes it just makes you feel better to be smart about it, you know. And we're still learning so much. And you guys, stay strong, stay motivated, keep your spirits up. I know it's easier said than done. We're all working through this. But just know that the little things really make the difference. And you know, I think, you know, we could get behind this, you know, we have this behind us pretty quickly and get back to starting up businesses and mingling and all the things that we love to do here in America and around the world. So with that, I will see you guys next weekend. Be good to each other. And what will you start up today? See you soon.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Loray, only on LA Talk Radio.